Glenn Wright, and begin to visit with Shirley this Monday, the 3rd of December, 73, right after lunch. John Glenn Wright, and beginning a visit with Shirley this Thursday, Monday, the 3rd of December, 73, right after lunch. John Glenn Wright, and beginning to visit with Shirley this Monday, the 3rd of December, 73, right after lunch. Channel 1-3, and beginning of the visit with Shirley this Thursday, the Monday, the 1st, 3rd of December, 73, right after lunch.
Are you laying down?
Me?
Don't get up if you're laying. She said you wasn't feeling too well.
Let me tell you, Shirley, Let me get you up. I had it yesterday. It was one of those kidney flare-ups.
Uh-huh.
And, but you see, these things here, about an hour, sometimes they'll take effect with me if I get it in time. I had a fever 101.
Uh-oh.
And it took about a couple hours to get it down. It started breaking. And I'm telling you, I just don't know what would happen if it didn't have that.
What? How long have you had the flare-up?
Oh, how long?
Yeah.
Well, just yesterday.
Gracious me. It really does take effect on you then,
doesn't it? Oh, it does. If I catch it, you see. I can catch it. Because, I don't know, my system seems to be pretty sensitive to the... That I got a fever and it shoots right out.
If you get out in the wind or what causes the flare up in your kidneys? Is it just
I wish I knew.
You don't know.
But I can tell. I can tell the way I feel. But you know how it is. I just refuse to acknowledge it. Or something.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Keep pushing.
Now yesterday, you see, we had a big time. With that cow, little cow, you see, we had a pretty chap, I tell you, we had a regular picnic with that little cow.
That is the prettiest little calf.
Yeah.
For coming out of a heifer.
Yeah.
That's a good sized calf.
And she acts like it, treats it like a cow.
I know it. She's down there just licking it. It looked like to me it wanted to get away from her a little bit. She wouldn't let it alone. It didn't make any difference that I was standing there. She had to keep licking that thing and washing it.
Well,
poor little thing is so clean, it's about to shine.
and that little thing turns around and looks at you, that little monkey face.
Yeah, it looks to say, well, Mom's really getting me spruced up. You know? I thought I'd die down there a while ago. All it wanted to do is lay down, and all she wanted to do is wash it.
Oh, it's a long story. Bill Gary was here. Now, he's an old hand. He's one of my... I wanted you all to see them.
I'm just sorry I missed him.
They are my old friends. I mean, I feel closer to them than I ever did anybody.
Is that right?
Yes. I don't know. In Florida, there's always some little something that's alien that you, I don't know, something pricking you all the time. Well, you see, up the country, well, of course, I was brought up in
there. Yeah, it makes a difference.
But see, I'm not kin to them. I used to work up there in that far end of Kentucky, and they lived out on U.S. 60. And it was about the first place where there's little old country when I lived up there. And we'd stop out there and walk down the way. Like Prudy says, you know, says you all used to come out here a long time before we knew you. She could look down there and watch us walking over her place.
Oh, yeah.
Say
yeah.
Well, but I don't know. I don't know. Now, you see, they had their, But you see, she belongs to that stock up there. And the first time they ever got ahead, she was 50 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
They got into this Farmers Mutual sort of thing, Southern Cooperative.
Oh, uh-huh.
And Southern Cooperative was coming into Kentucky. And at all these various places, you see, the Farm Bureau or somebody would vote on whoever would be their representative.
Mm-hmm. Same
well,
as they do now.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. They do the same thing now.
Well.
Matter of fact, I got a ballot sitting on the counter. I've got to fill out and send in. I got to do that right away. I forgot about that this morning.
Well, they voted on approving Bill Gary.
Is that right?
To take it over. Well, they took it over in a little bitty old hole in the wall. And then while I was up there, they had built a whole new great big plant right there on a railway siding, and put in a new mill, big mill.
My gracious.
Well, they were in it for 20 years or so. Well, they started so late, you see.
Yeah.
And, she's a worker. You talk about a worker and hard.
Oh, I wish I could have met him. He sounds like...
He just makes me feel great, like a greenhorn.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I am. But I swear, some of the things I've seen him do are just out of this world. Well, anyhow, he got good judgment. And he was out there with me, and we brought the cows up and let them in the potato place, and I took that... tractor down there and plowed it up a little bit for them. You see,
uh-huh.
just a party.
Yeah, yeah.
The cows are in on it, you see. And we brought him out, and he was standing there, and he gave that cow call. Way! I don't know what he said, Shirley, but it just scared the britches off of them cows.
Oh my God.
The only time I saw that work before, Buster was over here. My tractor had stalled over here, that little Ford tractor. And he pulled out there with his little green pickup truck.
Buster Mountain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that cow call on that horn.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on that a couple of times. And you know, those cows just swept around that field a couple of times, just scared them to death.
My great.
I don't understand it. That's the same way they did with Bill Gary. He said they didn't like strangers. They don't care about strangers. He was over there a long time, and they didn't pay a bit of attention to him. He helped me bring him out. They didn't pay a bit of attention to him.
It was that yell.
But he
Good, yeah. What did he do that for?
Well, that's just...
Just his way of doing
it. His way of doing it, yeah. Well, anyhow, well, you see, it just one thing goes to another when you got people like that around. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to sync up things, do you? Well, a couple of them didn't come up. And I thought, well, they'll come up. The rest of them we brought up here to get water. You see, this water out here is not so good. And I tried to get them up the other day to at least get water.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them wouldn't come up, and they stayed over in the corner there, and I called them, and they got so they wouldn't even answer me. Well, I thought, damn you, you will come up, because they don't like to be cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Faye went. And then I got to thinking, Dad Burnham, what they'll do, they'll come up here in the middle of the night and start bawling. So Faye went down there. She did it. She did it. Her idea. And she brought this little cow up.
Mm-hmm.
The little cow was over in the woods then, and Faye scolded her. And she said the little cow came on. As she scolded her, she came on and just walked along with her, clear on up the lane, went on in here.
With the other cow.
And we locked her up in here, you see.
Away from the cat.
Well, she was all right until the middle of the morning. I don't know, I'd guess, say, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I heard this bawling. Well, I thought it was the cow had come up out there. I got up and went out there. And I couldn't find a thing. I couldn't see a cow at all. I thought the cows had come up there trying to get in, you see.
Yeah.
Well, when I got up this morning, yesterday morning, first thing I did, I went out there, and she was right there against the fence, right up against that gate, as close as she could get.
Bawling.
She didn't say a word.
Oh.
But she had been bawling.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was down there, she started bawling over here. And I went out there, and I saw that she was the one that was bawling. And I came in, and I said, that cow is springing. I looked at her bag. Bill Gary said, if he knew any signs at all, she'd already sprung.
Yeah.
She has two holler on the side.
She sure didn't look it when I came over Friday, though. That's what got me. I told Brother, I said, I don't know where that calf came from, because I looked at those heifers, and I spent 2 hours sitting there watching them graze and walk about, and I never did see a fresh heifer.
Not a sign.
Not a single sign.
Well, anyhow, she, we let her out, and she just took her time. You know the way to do it.
Yeah.
She just took her time, clear on down the lane, and went clear across there. And then we lost her in the woods. And pretty soon I got in the chivvy and went around out there and started looking around. And then I walked out into the woods, and there she was, about halfway across the woods, just standing there with this new addition. And she's talking to it, you see, and he wasn't afraid. He hadn't been scared since he got here. That was ancient Jim in this world.
The only thing he wanted to do was get away from that tongue. She must have the longest tongue in the cow's ever had. She kept turning him up, you know, turning his rear up, you know, and licking this end. Then he turned around a little bit, and she licked the other end, and it looked like he was trying his darndest to get away from that tongue.
Well, I suppose to give them a handout. See, I always reward them with a handout, but I haven't had a chance to.
Well, is there any way I can get them back up here to the water, or is there anything you want done with them now, or just leave them, or what?
Well, I just let them out. Well, I let them out, yes. I forget now. Last night, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I let them go on back down there and get a little salad.
Yeah, they're eating around the marsh land there.
Yeah.
And around the back of the swamp back in the that's where that little calf was back in.
Oh, was it?
He saw me coming, he let out a couple of bellers, you know.
Oh.
And she put her head down and she moved up. She had a lick on the way up. She couldn't raise her head without licking it.
Well, it's a shame to come in December.
Yeah, maybe she'll make it all right. She looks good and the calf looks good.
Well, you can
give her a little handout.
Give her a little help until I can keep her up here, except she don't want to stay up here.
Well,
I can put her in with this other one, give her a little handout.
We could move her over there, I guess, and put her in that field where the heifers are, where I could feed her, you know, let her come up to the trough and get some feed.
Yeah.
That would help the calf out a little, too. More she gets I guess I could do that, and that way she won't be.
Well, you got too much grass over here. You can't take her off.
That is beautiful back in there.
Yeah.
And all mine is just as dead as a doornail now. That freeze really got it.
Yeah.
But this out here is still going.
It didn't hurt at all over here.
I know. It's just beautiful.
Seems like a light frost just sort of stimulates it.
We had a pretty good frost over there. We had to scratch the frost off the windshield. It was so thick.
What do you know?
Yeah, and
it made a difference that much.
Yeah. We had a pretty good little frost over there. Got my low quart trees. You know, the little blooms and the buds on the low quart that were coming out again, they're all froze off now. I lose all that fruit. So,
well, you see, this is a constant show on these fellas. And you know, I know them all so well. They're personal friends from way back, and it's like if you did this for a living, now it would change it.
Yeah.
You see, where you'd get all these pastures, and you'd have 100 in each pasture, and you see, you just have them tagged and
you wouldn't
paper,
you wouldn't know any of them.
Look at the records.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Yeah,
any of them.
It'd just be paperwork. And I don't know. I couldn't stand that. Well, anyhow, if you made a living, you could stand it. But I declare, it's nice just to have all your friends, you see,
yeah.
And you know them all.
I've got them, I think, all identified but two.
Yeah.
I think.
I know.
I might be wrong on some of them. I'm going. I wrote down the names that you call them opposite the numbers, and maybe I got them right. Maybe I haven't. I'll have to have you check over it for me when I
don't
bring the list over.
I don't use many names. I just use their old numbers. And it's not any particular numbers. It's just the numbers that
little
came
Little 18
them.
And,
yeah.
and 33
yeah.
and number 1 and
yeah.
pet number 2.
I never thought a number would mean anything to me. But see, when you bring up 33, I think of this guy as Mama.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, I think I've got them, from hearing you talk about them and pointing them out, I think I've got them pretty well.
33 had that beautiful dark color.
Mm-hmm.
And all the, well, one of them doesn't have, one of them is colored blue.
The youngest one.
That's a 33 too.
Yeah, she's dark color.
No, she's light.
The youngest one?
No, the youngest one is.
Yeah.
But the one that had the bad foot?
Yeah.
She's a 33.
She's light.
She's the only one that's light.
She's not.
She took after the bull, but the
but
other...
She's a nice looking heifer, though.
Oh, yeah, she's beauty.
Beautiful.
No, it's nice to have animals around. I just declare. And in a world, let me tell you, Shirley, in a world where you don't have animals, it looks like you see so much of people... It's you get tired of people.
I know what they irritate me. I can tell the cow where to go, and she don't mind me.
She don't talk.
She don't care. She don't care. But you can't blow off steam with that. Just about anybody you see.
No, and they're so easy to get along with, and they're so independent.
Yeah.
You see, they just eat.
Nothing
that.
Bothers them.
No.
Take a calf away from them in a week's time, they forgot about that. Settle down.
Yeah, and it's they have such simple pleasures, you know. You throw them a bucket and they just jump over backwards
and go wherever you want them to go.
Jump down, yes.
Yeah. The horses over there at the place have got eye trouble. I think one of them ran into the fence and scratched his eye under here. I've been doctoring that. And then the other one, I don't know whether they horse playing around and the other one hurt the other one. I don't know. Anyway, the other one's eyes hurt too, so we've been kind of doctoring them. And I put them in the field in the fence there where the bull is for the time being until I can get the vet out to look at them and separate them from the heifers. So last night it worked out pretty well. They went over, there's a place there that had some chicken manure and it's a great big hill like, so we call it Chicken Hill. And the horses all go over on Chicken Hill and eat that grass around Chicken Hill. And while they're eating the grass over there, I fed the bull. It works out pretty good. But this morning, they thought they were going to take that feed away from Pappy. And I got one of them out and tied his head to the fence. And the other one was still in the pasture. And Pappy was eating. And I thought, well, I don't know whether to go ahead and take that horse out and tie her up until he gets through eating or what to do. It's just, you know, temporary until I get the vet out today or tomorrow. To look at him. And so I went over to get a hold of the brown horse, and boy, Pappy got up and he looked at that horse and he put his head down and he took about 3 steps toward that horse and that horse took off. He never bothered him again.
Is that right?
Never bothered him again. He scared death of that bull. So I won't have any trouble. But Captain would just go over there and egg his way in there just real slow, you know, until he could get his head in that bucket. And then he'd take it away from Captain.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to kind of put him on the outside until he gets through eating.
I never put any horses in with them until late this summer.
Yeah, I don't like to. He likes it in there by himself.
I had this horse that was foundered.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted her up here where I could handle it, and I couldn't put her in here because Cookie's horses were down here, and both these were mares, and both of them were steers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such a small fence between them. So I put them down there where they wouldn't have anything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
There's less to eat in that little pasture there. And Pappy, they didn't bother him, and he kept out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were. Been here together all this time, so they're
Well, they don't have anything to do with him. They stay clear away from him. You know, he'll eat his feed and there's a little bit of hay and he'll nibble at that hay. He sure loves hay. And then he'll go over and he'll lay down under those trees over there in that shade. And he spends most of his day over there until the kids come in. Then he's got to come down this end of the fence, see what everybody's doing. But then,
it don't pay. I don't know. I know so little about animals, but anything that makes them nervous, you see.
That's why I say I'm not going to leave. That was just, we put them in there yesterday afternoon.
Old Johnny Ross was the first one I bought horses from, and he'd pick them up here, there, and yonder, and he had a big pasture up there, and he'd take them home, put them all in there together.
Yeah.
And I was up there several times, and I'd go out there in the pasture, and you'd look at them horses, and you could see the hoof print on one of them's hind end.
Yeah, where he kicked him.
Well,
I've seen that happen to my milk cow. You see her come up with a hoof print on her.
Yeah.
That makes me mad, especially when they're going to have a calf right away.
No, I don't want to make them nervous. At least I may be nervous, but I don't want nervous animals.
Pappy's so sweet. He's just as sweet as he can be. I want him to stay that way.
He's right sporting.
Yeah, he's pretty. And I don't know how many, he stops traffic out there. You know, the hunters I tell you about that goes down back in the woods back in there?
Yeah.
Everybody that goes down that back row has to stop and look at Pappy.
Is that right?
Just about everybody that goes through there stops a while and looks at him.
Yeah.
You know, he's new, he hasn't been there before, and that bullpen is new, and they just, when they see the pen, they know something's got to be in there, I think. So they stop and look around, and they see Pappy out there, and they just... I saw one man walking up the fence line toward the house, that back fence line. There's nobody supposed to be back in there, you know, coming back toward the washhead from the oaks. So I watched him for a little bit, and he had a gun in his hand. And boy, I went flying out of that house, and I asked him, I said, there's no hunting. I told him, I said, there's no hunting back in here. I said, if you want to hunt, you go way back toward the lake. I said, you can't hunt around here. He said, no, I'm just coming to see the bull. I said, with a gun in your hand? And he said, I just have a habit of carrying around everywhere I go. I said, I don't want that thing to go off in the middle of that bull's side. So he said, that's a pretty bull. And I said, and I want him to stay that way. I was nervous with that gun in his hand. I didn't want him to. You know, some of them shoot him just for the heck of it,
just,
I think.
Just
to see him drop.
See what he's doing.
There was one guy, he was stewed as he could be, and he was looking for, he stopped Berman on the bulldozer, and he said he wanted to know where his dog was, and then he saw me coming from the truck, and he stopped me, and he asked me if I'd seen his dog, and I said, no. He says, hey, you don't have a cigarette on you, do you? I said, no, and I wouldn't have him on the place. I said, I don't smoke, my husband doesn't smoke. And he saw Johnny standing, and he says, hey, boy, he says, you have a cigarette? And he said, no, and he said, I don't smoke. So he said he was so drunk he couldn't stand up, and here he was out there hunting.
Yeah.
If he'd seen anything move in the bushes, he'd shoot it, depending on no matter what it was.
Oh yeah.
So I looked in the back seat, and he had a dog back there. And he said, how many dogs do you have? And he said, oh, this dog isn't mine. He said, it belongs to another hunter. He said, I got a good dog now. And I thought to myself, well, he's stealing somebody else's dog. So I took his license number as he drove off. I just wrote it down on a piece of pad that I had in the truck there. And the next car coming out of the oak stopped, and he says, you haven't seen a walker hound, have you? I said, yes, I did. I said, there was one in the back end of that red truck, car that just went out of here. And he said, did it have a silver tag on it? I said, yes, it did. And... he said, I bet that was my dog. And I said, well, I don't know who the guy was, but I've got his tag number. And he said that he had a good dog now, so it sounded like to me he was taking off with your dog. So I gave him the tag number, and he took off after that red wagon, so I don't know whether they ever found him or not. But you meet all kinds of people back in there, and they'll bring their rubbish out, their garbage, and throw it all down that, and we have to go back with that bulldozer and dig a hole and bury the stuff. But that woods is just full of bottles and stuff that they throw back in there. That burns me up. we take our have to take our garbage in to the dumpster, and then here they come out to the country and throw it out in our yard.
Well, this garbage is supposed to be kind of wide pretty soon.
Well, it's out as far as almost as far as Mrs. Guthrie's.
Oh, is it?
Doesn't come quite down that far now.
Yeah.
Yet it's you know where Gaggers used to live.
Yeah.
Gaggers down that far.
You know, Meganope, you see, has that you have to pay for it, $4
uh-huh.
a month,
uh-huh.
whether you use it or not.
Yeah.
That's the way they do. Now, that's what came in with that new city town council they got over there.
Mm-hmm.
They threw the old one out, and rightfully, they couldn't transact business. I never saw such things. They just couldn't transact business. They couldn't keep accounts. They had the woman at the library keeping track of things. Well, she couldn't keep track of...
Well, this new mayor they got over there, Mayor Thomas, Thompson?
Yeah, Thomas.
Thomas, yeah. He's supposed to be pretty good, isn't he?
He's pretty fair, yeah.
He's got good
people on the council.
Yeah. He's sort of cleaning it up, in other words. He's
getting all those old wrecked cars out and... Well, anyhow.
She's a good friend of mine, you know, Mrs. Thomas.
Oh, is she?
Uh-huh. She comes, she works at the VA hospital, too. She's an anesthetic nurse over there.
Oh.
She's real nice. Real nice lady.
Well, where'd you run into her?
She called me up here about 3 weeks ago, and she wanted to know, she raises little French poodles, dogs, on the
yeah.
side for a hobby. She's got
yeah.
three or four of them there. And she, one of hers was in heat, and she called me and wanted to know if she could use Timmy's mail, you see, for the stud for one of her dogs. So I said, you sure can. So she brought her dog out to be mated with Peppy. And we got to talking, and I had met her before, but I had forgotten her, you know. I hadn't really, didn't get too well acquainted with her. But then she invited me over to her house the next weekend, and she was going to give Peppy a French poodle cut, you know. She was going to clip them for me, but she had the clippers. So, and I'd never seen this done, and I wanted to see it done so that I could do it myself, because they charge you $12 to have it done at the beauty parlors, at the dog's beauty parlor. So I thought, well, and I'd never take him. He'd grow long hair from here to... So I thought, well, if I seen it done, I could do it myself, and I could just see it done one time. So she invited me over the next Saturday, and I took him over there, and there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
Really nothing to it.
Yeah.
It's an all-day job, but you can do a little at a time, you know,
oh,
to get
yeah.
it done. But but now that he's once been done, if I can keep him, you know, going
yeah.
back and,
yeah.
and doing him, it's really nothing to
well,
it.
Well, now, you take a horse, take the mane and all. The only thing I notice about that is you got to have some shears, you see, that will cut.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just take a pair of old scissors or something, all they do is slide back.
Yeah.
And you
that horse hair is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
And it'll sure dull a pair of scissors in a hurry.
Yeah.
I've clipped enough of Bonnie's mane tail on her horse, and it really ruined my scissors.
So as part of the equipment you
uh-huh.
got.
She's got good equipment, and she uses the Oscar clippers and everything, you know. That's a good company, good brand, so. I guess she had four or five pairs of clippers over there. And when one gets hot, she'd lay that down and
yeah.
use the next one.
Yeah.
And then she had different heads on each one where
yeah.
she could turn them around, but it saved a lot of stopping and clipping this head on that clipper, and you know, she really had a good setup. I thought it was real nice. It has all her equipment there, like dog shampoo and her rinse and her dip, and their ear medicine. They've got to have so many things if you're going to have them and take good care of them. You got to have so many different things to do to work with.
Helen, Helen is, she's in the same spot like you are.
No, not really. She's, now she would have been if she'd had a chance, and I think she's been pretty good at, you know, cattle work or living on a farm, but because her daddy did. Her daddy was from West Virginia, and he was quite a cattleman. And but she's gotten tangled up in the city living and everything like this, and it's just changed her way of living altogether. Now she'd love to be out in the country and work. Yeah. You know, like
well, I was thinking the things that she talked about there. She just she looked like she was just into it all. You see, mostly it was with the children.
Yeah, she's very involved with her children. I really give her credit there. I wish I could be as involved as she is in some ways. But then again, I think, too, your children have to have time to grow up without you. And she's ever, forever with them. She's taken them to church organizations, and then she's taken them to a choir. They sing quite a bit. And then she travels all around with them when they go, you know, different places to sing.
Oh, that's
And she works anywhere she can get to be near her boys. When they were going to the elementary school, she worked in the elementary cafeteria. When they went to on into the high school, she switched jobs and worked as a head cook over all the cafeteria in the high schools. She's worked her way up as she's moved, and she's really had a rough life because she was married to Jack when I first met her, and they'd been married 10 years and didn't have any children. Berman and I married, and Johnny came along, and about the time Johnny was born, a month before Johnny was born, she had a baby by Jack, her first husband, and that was Lloyd. No, just before this year, before Johnny was born, she adopted little Jackie. That's right. She adopted Jackie 9 months to the day when she had little Lloyd. So he's 9 months older than Lloyd is. And she adopted him at 3 days of age. So she's raised him. And then when they were about, I think it was 3 and 4 years old, maybe it was 2 and 3 years old, but anyway, Jack died at 32 with nephritis of the kidneys. And these two were very close. And it almost killed her when he died. So then she took the boys, sold everything she had, moved out, and started all over again up the country. Didn't like it up there. This was up in Maryland, I think it was. She didn't like it there, so she sold everything again, moved back down here. She went around renting from one place to another and just, you know, trying to find happiness, I guess. And finally, she met Chad. She met him and I think it was in Connecticut too. But anyway, they married, and he had been married and had a little daughter, had a 15-16-year-old daughter, and his wife had died of epilepsy. And so it left him with a little girl. So then he married Helen. And Helen had her adopted son, her son by her first husband, and now she had this stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. So they're the children are no relation to one another.
Oh, I didn't know.
And she's kind of, she's the perfect mother for them. She puts those children first above all things.
Well, but she's kept in circulation all this time.
Yeah, she's kept working, and she's been active, but she hasn't had the life that she really wanted to have. And she loves to come up there and visit with us, and she'd stay there from now until she dropped dead, I guess. But she enjoys to be with us up here, and every chance she gets, she wants to come back up. Now, Chet, all he cares about is getting a fishing pole and going fishing.
Yeah.
See, and Berman doesn't like that.
Yeah, he's not much.
He's not a fisherman. Well, we were trying. We had our heads together, Helen and I. See, I asked them to come up this time because I wanted them to get Berman to sit down and talk and rest and relax and, you know, and enjoy himself over the weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. I thought, well, if I don't, he's going to get on that bulldozer and spend all weekend out there in that book in the Oaks.
Yeah.
And he needs the rest. So I told Chet to bring his fishing pole and bring an extra one for Berman. Well, they tried and they tried to get him down that fishing hole. He wouldn't go. He wouldn't go. He ended up he ended up on the bulldozer over there for a while. So I quit. I told hell that was all there was.
You've done your part, huh?
I spent 2 days cooking there for that box.
Well, I'll tell you, I was right impressed with Helen. Things happen, must happen around her. She keeps things going.
Yeah. She's if you could get to talk to her by herself, you know, she's pretty interesting. But I don't know that those two smoking nitwits there, Barbara, her daughter, my stepdaughter, she never smoked. She never smoked before, since that I've known her. And every time she's ever come up to the house, she's never smoked.
Yeah.
Then she married this fella here about 3 months ago, and he smoked, and I didn't know that. And I can't stand it. I just can't stand that cigarette smoke. Sitting there at dinner time and them smoking on that cigarette, it made my stomach churn.
Yes, I don't put up with it.
I wanted so bad to tell them to go in the other room and smoke or something, you know, but I was afraid I'd hurt her Barbara's feelings. She's so timid.
Yes.
And you say something to her and it doesn't set just right, she'll sit there and cry.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that. It makes me nervous. Helen said she's worked with her and tried to bring her out of this, but she said it's something that her mother was the same way, with Helen's mother. So they try to put up with a lot of nonsense with them, but that's smoking. And she, to me, she looked like she was pale as a sheet. She looked like she needed some nourishment of some sort, but I was just as shocked as I could be when she pulled that cigarette out and started smoking.
You talk about pollution. They come out and this good fresh air, and the first thing they do is pull out that burned old smokestacks with them. It's the most shameful thing I ever saw. Well, you see, I did it along myself, and the only thing about it is I never enjoyed smoking. It was just a habit, and I tell you.
I just can't go it.
I have seen this. Anything that's in the culture, now by culture, that's the word they use, you see. Anything that's in the society, in the system, in the neighborhood, you know, in the way people generally do, it is almost impossible to resist it, especially for the young.
Let me tell you what Bernard says. He says if it was in style to jump off
That's right.
He said it here the other night, the night he was out here. If it was in style to jump off the Empire State Building, he said if one person did it and said this is going to be the style, he said everybody'd flock there to jump right off behind them.
I didn't remember that. I'm glad.
I think he did. I think he said it the other night when he was out. He's forever saying that. At work the other day, he said the same thing. Bonnie came in there with a little bit of a more heel than I wanted on her shoe, and we had an argument. I said, all right, you want it this high, and I want it this high, so we'll compromise and get it this high. So we did. We walked in. I said, how do you like Bonnie's shoes? He looked at him, and he said, yeah. He said, that's the style. Anything for the style. If you want to jump off the Empire State Building, he said, then call it the style. Everybody would be flocking up there to jump off behind you.
No, and if it's in the style, you see, you don't have to teach them that.
Yeah,
you don't. They learn it.
They pick it up.
Yes.
So,
if you could just get it into the system.
But I have really had a lot of respect for Berman and his sister for that reason, and I guess myself in a way, because I was tempted as well, but I remember something Daddy used to say about Berman's sister, that a lady friend of his that he thought a good deal of had come to see him one day and knocked on the door, and he let her in and They sat down, were having a cup of tea together, and Mrs. Shearhouse was her name. And she says to Daddy, she called him Berman, she said, "Berman, I have something I got to tell you." And she said, "I hope you'll remember this for the rest of your days." And he said, "Well, what is it?" Well, she taught at the college where Ruby was staying, and this was during a Christmas vacation and she was home visiting. And she went by to see Daddy to tell him this thing so that he would know. But it seems that in the college, they were having a party. And there was several couples there. There was just a big crowd of class students there. And there's teachers and professors, and I don't know. There's just a big, big party going on at the college. And Ruby was very good at the piano. So they asked her to play. So she was playing the piano for the crowd. And they were all singing and having a big time. And someone came around with the drinks, the toasts, as we call them. And everyone in the room had their drinks except the piano player. And so they came over with a tray of their alcoholic beverages. And her glass was still on the tray. There was still an extra glass. So they asked her if she would like a drink. And she took the glass and she turned it upside down on the tray. And she said, "Yes, it would." And they looked at her real funny. And Mrs. Shearhouse was standing right next to the piano when this all took place. So this is how she knew about it. And she said, "I would love to have a glass of milk." So they went to the kitchen and got her a glass of milk and brought it out, and they set it on the piano. And everybody made fun of her drinking that milk. And she said, "That's all right." She said, "The milk is fine." She said, "That's what I care to drink."
Is that right?
And so Mrs. Shearhouse made a special trip all the way over to see Daddy to tell him about that, and Daddy got the biggest kick out of this. Because, see, she had just turned from Baptist to Catholic. And he was very sour against her for that.
Oh, yes.
But that made him feel better.
Yes.
Knowing that at least she was, trying to stay away from the alcoholic beverages and the smoking and everything. So he never forgot that, and I bet you he's told me that story 100 times if he's told me once. And Berman told me one time on ship, and I never knew it until here one day when he was talking to you over here, that he'd even had a taste of the stuff. But he told me on board ship during the war, and he was just 17 or 18 years old, some big guys got a hold of him and got him down on the floor, and they were going to make him drink this beer or whiskey or whatever it was, and he wasn't going to drink it. And there was four or five of them, I guess, all on top of him trying to make him drink that stuff. And he said he was determined to either break their necks or spill it once. He said they couldn't get it down his throat. So he said that was the closest I ever came to it, except once. But I never heard about the once until one day he was talking to you. And I don't remember whether you knew it or not, but
no.
It stuck in my mind because
no.
I've never heard it,
Yeah.
And so that is the only...
What was that?
When he had taken it. It was at a wedding. Didn't he say it was some kind of a German or Italian wedding?
It skipped me entirely, you see.
It was something about a wedding. They went around with the toast. And he said they filled his glass before he knew it, he was drinking it. And then he said, just to be sociable, they passed him one more time. He said, every time they passed by him, I had a full glass. And he said, I kept drinking it. And that was the last.
Oh.
That was the first time I'd heard anything about him drinking any alcoholic beverage.
Oh.
But then we went over to Faye's that Halloween night, and she had a jug fixed up of apple wine. And she gave it to him more as a joke than anything else. And we thought that he was drinking this, and every once in a while he'd lift up the jug, and he'd be drinking. And it went on into the evening, and I thought, my gosh, that thing is lasting a long time, When we got home and I looked at that jug, there wasn't a bit gone. It was still full. So so the trick was on us. He wasn't even drinking.
Well, now that's amazing, Shirley. Now that Bernard is.
But they were both. They had strong constitutions about drinking and smoking.
Well,
I have too.
How did he ever get that?
I don't know, because his daddy drank at one time, and he chewed and he smoked.
Yes.
And he thought his daddy was just all it, you know. He
yeah.
just worshipped his daddy. So I don't know how he just made up his mind he wasn't going to do it.
Well, some of the extreme cases, you see, where the daddy drinks and makes a show of it, all the children despise it. But it takes something like that.
Yeah.
But, well, that's uncommon, isn't it? And just the whole idea, you see, that if anybody jumps off the Empire State Building, the rest of them will too.
Yeah.
You don't hear people talk like that.
Well, he does. He'll
go along with it.
He tells them there at work, somebody did something wrong there one time when I was there in the office, and Berman won't ever chew anybody out for doing it. He'll try to tell them where they did something wrong and try to, in a nice way, try to tell them how to do it right. But he won't ever jump on them with all 4 feet. He doesn't do Johnny that way. Johnny, he's very careful about how he talks to Johnny. When Johnny makes a mistake.
Yeah.
And Johnny doesn't forget it.
Yeah.
He doesn't go back and make that same mistake twice. So it works.
Well, let me tell you. Go ahead.
But I was sitting there in the office and this guy came in and he made some kind of a mistake or something or another. And he was sitting there telling him how to do it. And he says, "Yes, but I don't do it that way." He said, "I do it like so-and-so did it." He says, "Yeah, so then so-and-so jumped off the Empire State Building, you jump off too." And then he wouldn't have nothing more to do with it. He wouldn't try to explain nothing to him.
Yeah.
He was upset then. He says, "Yeah, I'd do it like so-and-so." So his patience wears thin in a little while.
Well, I told you. You know, I learned so slow. You and I attribute a good part of that to been in school so much. you're getting numb. You don't learn. People think you go to school, you learn. I think you learn more out of school than you do in. But you still got to go to school a little. It took me so long to learn. You see, you don't have to holler at a cow. You can just change your voice a little bit. Just sort of scold her. You know? Well, why wouldn't I know that? And the same thing with your animals around the house. You don't have to just knock anything down.
Well, I don't know. I have better luck with the animals than I do with my kids.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they're deaf, you know.
Yes.
I think I have to yell at them once in a while. It makes me feel better if it doesn't get across to them.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I lose my temper every now and then and scream at them. I know I shouldn't do it, but by George, they wear your patience then.
Yeah. You keep that up with Helen. You remind every time, you see, that that religion stuff is bad, Helen, Shirley. When they get too much of it at one time.
She realizes that, I think, in a way because of Daddy.
Yeah.
Because she knew how Daddy was.
Yeah.
He was, he just plain went off his rocker there for a while. He didn't know anything but.
Well, it can affect the young as much as anybody.
But when Jack's with me and Helen's not there, it's a horse of another color. He's a different boy. And he really worships me. He really, he thinks so. Sun rises and sets in me. I tell you, it wouldn't be much. I could have that kid wrapped right around my little finger, you know, if I could get him off to myself.
Yeah.
But he'll get in there. Now, if his mother knew that he was singing the blues, or if he was singing jazz, or whatever, or Western, especially, she likes this music, but
Western.
She wants him to sing religious songs.
They can do that, too. But that Western music, that's what people like to hear.
I like it. I like it a lot better than... I used to like popular music very much, but or opera music, but I've got some that I listen a lot to the Western. There's a lot more feeling in Western music than
yeah.
there is in...
Well, it differs. I don't know where to tell where the difference is. A lot of it is just Tin Can Alley, you know, just manufactured stuff.
Yeah.
And they get to be expert at that. And there's a great deal of that now. But where you get a performer, Cookie had some bluegrass performers down here.
And now that's good.
And there was four of them. And they was modest. You see, and they didn't. Well, I saw the performance. It was over in the church at Alvin's Baptist Church at Windsor, and I never saw anything like it. It was just genuine stuff, and better than the church music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you wouldn't want to say. Sing that instead of church music, but I mean, well, anyhow, I'm getting sort of tongue-tied.
Well, even a religious song sang in a Western way, in a Western manner, sounds altogether different and is more appealing to me.
Yeah, that's right.
How Great Thou Art was one that I really loved to hear Jackie sing. Now, he can sing it good both ways.
Is that right?
He can sing it good Western,
nice.
And he can sing it good religious.
Was. Now there's another thing you see, like he you said, and then like she said, that he was going into the ministry, but he was going to do the evangelistic work. Well, you know, that's all right. Children always want to be president of the United States first.
Yeah, right.
But he do well to have a little country church first.
Well, he has. That's the thing. He's really outgrown his church there right now.
Yeah.
There in Bethel. Now he's been traveling around, you see, and he sings for different organizations.
Uh-huh.
And he did a special for Oral Roberts there.
Yeah.
While he was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm dying to hear about it.
Oh yes, you haven't heard about it.
No, yet. I haven't. I wanted to go down there Sunday, but of course the gas shortage is the way it is, and as expensive it is, I thought twice before we went down there just to hear how the outcome came of it, but I would have really enjoyed to go on down and listen to them. But they'll be up anyway for Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
Spend a week with us, so I'll hear about it there. But I know Jackie. I'm surprised he hasn't called me because usually he does. He'll call me sometime if he heard that I've been sick or something. A week later, he'll call me and see how I'm feeling. See. He's a very thoughtful child. I wish Johnny was a little more as thoughtful as Jackie is, but maybe he will be one day. Now, he's a year older than Johnny.
Uh-huh. Johnny's changing, in fact.
He is. He's really changing.
Johnny seems to notice things more than he did.
Yeah. He's not as clumsy. He's outgrown that clumsy. Oh, that clumsy stage. I think Timmy's going into that now.
Well, let me tell you, Shirley, I think one of the worst things in the world is to push the children. Just let them.
Yeah, let them grow up. They've got to have time to grow up.
As long as they want to be. You know, eventually they're going to grow up. They don't have much choice, do they?
No, and I hate to see. I keep thinking, well, gosh, Johnny, a few years from now, he probably won't even be around the place. He'll be gone. Just about the time I could really use him, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
But the only thing I got to do now is to keep Timmy and Danny interested. Bonnie, of course, she's going to have a different track than the boys did, and she's going to have things a little more different. But the boys, I can sort of keep them on an even keel as far as.
I keep Bonnie on a horse as long as I could. Now, Shirley, I'll tell you the truth. I think you made a mistake in not sending her over to that woman for the simple reason that she'll associate with other children who are horse people.
That's right.
And the money is not the consideration.
You mean this Holland's Way, this lady over here that raises horses?
No, it's that other one that used to live right there on the main street in Viganope. And she took a few. She had children who were riding, you know, and so she took a few other children who were going to ride. And I know.
Well,
her name.
There was a reason why I didn't there. That was the same fellow that I had the trouble with that took her from the football game. He was also involved out there. I didn't want to get the two of them together. You remember one night when Bonnie and Tina and Cindy and a bunch of them went to the football game and she came up missing?
Yeah.
And they had taken her for a ride in the car?
Oh.
Remember that?
I just remember that.
Uh-huh. And well, he was involved in this riding school. And if I got her...
Oh,
going over there, you see, I might have been...
Holbrook. Isn't that the name?
No, no.
I
want to say Holling's Way, but it's...
Well, anyhow, Faye knows him.
Yeah.
May Sue, somebody. She was born in China.
Her first name is Rusty. They call her Rusty, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Or her daughter. Is it her daughter?
I don't know her daughter. May Sue, and she's good. And they moved out there kind of in the shallow.
Maybe I'm not talking about the same one. Maybe it's a different one.
Shallow community. And built a house out there and got 15, 20 acres. And she'd be nice to associate with.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe I better talk to Faye about this. Maybe it's a different one than I'm thinking about. But anyway, this fellow was... going over there riding quite a bit, and I couldn't see sending Bonnie over there where he was at.
Well,
I didn't want any more to do with him.
It goes in that direction sometimes.
Yeah, it gets touchy. I can't.
Yeah.
I just gotta keep my. You gotta keep your eyes open all the time. I'll tell you. We took a ride over to the beach, over at Crescent Beach one day. Well, the water was too cool, and we didn't go in swimming. Berman had been driving around, so he wanted to take a nap. So he just slid down behind the wheel and took a nap right there on the beach. And the boys was looking for shells, and I told Bonnie I sent her down the beach. I kept her with me all the time there in that bikini bathing suit. I thought I'd better keep her right as close to me as I could because it's just about next to nothing. So I told her, I was embarrassed as it was, and I told her, I said, well, you just stay right here with me. We'll find some shells around my car here. So we were walking around, and directly I noticed the boys was going so far down. I was worried about them and getting them out of sight, and there was a big cloud coming up. So I said, you run down that beach and have those boys turn around and start looking for shells on the way back. Because I said, there's a cloud up there, and it looks like it's getting ready to break. So she went running down the beach. I don't know what I was doing. I was getting a drink or something or another out of the back end of the car when they were coming back. And I kind of took my eyes off her for 1 minute. And here these three guys got out of this car and they were running toward Bonnie, you know, down on the beach. Whistling and having a big time. Boy, I was sitting in that chair and I was watching every move they were making. And on the way back, I noticed they kept pestering her, you know. And she kept trying to get away and turning her head and trying to get to avoid them. And they wouldn't have any part of it, so... I thought to myself, well, boy, I'm going to scare three wolves right on down the beach when they get back up this far. So I met them about halfway, and I kind of walked off to one side, and Bonnie was walking down next to the water. And I think they didn't know that I was, you know, probably with Bonnie at the time. But boy, when I stopped her and I said, Bonnie, you having any trouble? And she said, not a bit in the world. They took off. They just kept walking on down the beach. So I didn't have any trouble out of them, but I tell you, you can't take your eye off them for 1 minute. There was a couple of girls there at Crescent Beach last summer that were missing, 14 and 16 years old, sisters.
Yeah.
So they just went for a walk on the beach and they came up missing.
Yeah, at that age they're sort of maturing, but they know so little.
Yeah, and they're flirty, too.
They got no protection.
They think they know everything. So...
Well, you got those three very attractive children right there in a nest, you see.
Yeah. Those are the ones I'm working on.
Yeah, Tina and the other one. They are just beauties.
Tina and Cindy. But,
and they are doing all right, the others?
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
They watch after them?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes they're getting squabbles, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wouldn't want to start all over again. I told Berman if I was to come up pregnant, I'd go hang myself in the nearest tree. I said, no, I don't want any more. And I wanted 12 when we started out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go and let you get some rest because Faye said you weren't feeling well.
I didn't show me bad.
Oh, these things here. Yeah.
Sure.
I got them all, but these, for some reason, I left off to one side because these were the ones we lost the papers on.
Yeah.
On the bull and the two cows. And that's the only reason why I... And
right here.
You've already signed them once, but they had to be signed here again.
Yeah. Guy
is mom. I had to overlook that, but I'd send all them all off except these three.
Well, that's something. You really do your paperwork. It has been so much easier for me to just keep it up, wouldn't it?
Well,
I got put out with them. I couldn't please them. One thing, and then I found that I could get just as much for unregistered cows as I could for the registered ones. But you do better with the registered.
Well, I've got a man right now, and he wants those heifers that I got from you, and I don't want to sell them. But I've got a notion to do this. Now, he's got other registered heifers. They're almost 2 years old, and he said that his were related to his bull, and these little ones are related to Pappy. And I don't want to sell Pappy. I want to keep Pappy.
Yeah.
So I told him what we might be able to do is to trade, and he take his heifers, and I take his.
You have three of the finest.
That's what I told him.
You won't find the likes of them anywhere else.
That's what I told him.
You've got three of the most beautiful ones. They're the best calves I've had out here.
Four. There's four real pretty ones.
Three, yeah.
Four real pretty ones that I don't want to part with.
Yeah, you can't part with.
The only
them.
Reason why I'd want to is because of Pappy, and then he said, well, he said, if you do that, he said, I've got four of the ones that were left out of the old bull that I had, out of my old stock. And they're not doing very well. I might trade them those.
Yeah.
But I said, these here, those that I got from you, I want to hold on to.
Oh,
that was his idea to trade his heifers for mine. But I don't like that trading business.
No.
I don't like it at all.
Oh,
now his are 2 years old. They're ready for breeding.
It'd be better if you get pushed for time or something like that. Just let Pappy go ahead and breed them. Most of them come out just as well.
Yeah.
You just have a few, maybe that's not so good.
Yeah.
Some of them be good. Some of them not.
Well, I don't know. We've got those eight heifers or eight here that are related to him, and then the eight. Oh, what is it? No, five. Four or five. How many in that small bunch was yours? Do you remember? Four or five. In the younger ones. Was there five? There was six, and one died.
Yeah.
And left five.
Yeah.
So that's eight, that's 13, and then the calves, maybe, whatever they'll have this year. But maybe, I'd like to keep Pappy at least two more years.
I
don't know.
Well, look at what he's had,
beautiful. But he wants those heifers in the worst way, and he offered me $400 a piece for them heifers.
Money
and
wouldn't
I wouldn't
buy
take them. I told him, I said, no, sir.
No, the money wouldn't buy them. It wouldn't hurt you. Just go ahead and, you know what you could do? You ought to do this anyhow. You ought to do a little artificial.
I want to learn the
you
art of this.
You want to learn how to do that.
Jack
and
Dodd.
And there's no comparison. Absolutely no comparison.
J- Jack Dodd, Berman's cousin, is in overall a Darien there in Tallahassee. I'm trying to get him. I dropped him a card the other day, and I told him the next time he was down this way to stop and see me. I wanted to talk to him, and I want to talk to him about artificial.
Well, now, let me tell you.
He knows nothing, how to do it.
There's nothing to it. All you do is you get the county agent and ask him when they're going to have the first little instruction in it. And you don't need instruction in it. You need practice.
Oh, they do this?
Oh, yes. They'll have a group here or in Palatka or in Ocala or in Williston, you see, who are doing it. And you furnish a cow, somebody else furnish a cow, and one thing or another, you see. And it's just the practice that matters. That's all.
And
matters.
And you practice on your own cow?
No.
No?
Just all of them have contribute to cows there. And that's what it is. And I don't think the school lasts but a week, and it just lasts an hour or two a day.
Well, I didn't know that. I sure.
That's all there is to it.
And you contact the county agent.
And it's easier to do it.
Mr. Farrell?
Yes. Yes. If he doesn't do it, he'll know who does do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you see, with all these cattle people around here, there's something like that ought to be going all the time. I have seen it done, Shirley. You've seen it. I have seen little old spindly cows. Artificial insemination have calves better than anything I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you say they don't raise them up good. They do raise them up good. Just a little old spindly cow.
Well, now the Paul Hereford people, they used to frown on that, you know.
Yes.
They used to frown on anyone artificial breeding. But now they're talking, they're all for it.
Yeah.
So.
You take Bill Snead. He does it.
He does.
Well, you see what they do. They buy these $50,000 bulls, and they buy, each one buys a part. And the only part they can buy is the artificial part. They wouldn't ship the bull around. Maybe one off kid with a year and one off another.
Yeah.
So you see, that is forced on him. Now his chief sale is he makes more money out of his bull sale than the other. But
he just had another bull sale.
Yes, in November. Mm-hmm. But that's just because everybody like me that during no count and lazy and.
I've wanted to do this for years, but I've never had the opportunity to get to learn how to do it. But if they have classes
well,
on this,
well, you see, you
really
and Johnny could go right in for it.
Yeah.
And you got enough people right there in the Hawthorne, you know, the ones
right.
you're
that's
associated
right.
with in that little 4-H business.
Yeah, that's see? Right.
Because it's no trouble to do. All you need is just somebody who's done it before. Well, it takes more than that. You got to have, but it's a little trouble. And you got all these county agents. I don't mean that, but I mean people paid by the state who work for the state.
Mm-hmm.
And they drop of a hat, they'll come around and instruct.
I'm gonna go home and call them because I'd really like to get involved in that. I'd like to. I've forever had people on that phone calling me wanting to use our bull or wanting to put their cows in our pasture to be bred or have a milk cow that they have to be bred.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't get wound up in that at all.
Yeah. So
that's too much trouble.
Well, I've often thought about getting involved in this. Artificial. Ever since Jack Dodd, he was at the barn one day and he just got through finishing artificial breeding his milk cows. It was there. Herd of milk cows was out there.
Yes, all the milk cows are bred that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said he had to because he said he couldn't stand around waiting, you know, losing days count in a dairy because you lose so many days between the time the cow comes in and when she goes out, and if she's not bred in that time, then you lose 30 more days there. So he said he just couldn't stand around waiting. He had to have them bred when he wanted them bred.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get him bred and not lose so many days per cow, he had to learn how to do it himself. And that was part of his program, too. But
you just have to watch your cows, and you can tell at the back of the pasture whenever one's in heat and which one's in heat. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. And they said something about using some kind of a, what is it, iodine, mercurochrome or something, a sac that they attach to the head of the tailbone. And then when they're in heat, that when another cow jumps on this cow, it busts that sack and the red falls.
Yes.
It's a paint or iodine or something.
Yeah.
And it shows them right away that that cow is in heat.
Yeah.
I thought, well, boy, if that is the height of laziness,
yes.
All they got to do is go out and walk among the herd a little bit, and they can tell which cow is, you know, which is.
Oh, they take it hard, a lot of them.
Yeah, they sure do. Well, I'm going to run and let you get some rest. And I'm going to.
You know, Shirley, it's not a matter of rest. I'm resting more now than I will when. When you go. Because I'll have to settle down and do something.
Well, I am too, in a way. When I get home, I got washing to do and everything else. So.
You got your big station wagon running.
Shamwan Wright around 1600, end of the visit with Shirley this Monday, the 3rd of December, 73. After lunch, Channel 1 Wright around 1500, and the end of the visit with Shirley this Monday, the 3rd of December, 73. Channel 1 Wright, around 1500, and the end of visit with Shirley this Monday after lunch, the 3rd of December, 73.
9 to 2 o'clock on the Sunday night.